God's grace and his peace be multiplied unto you in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight we consider the Word of God as it is found recorded in Matthew 27, beginning with verse 19. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. This is the word of our God. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus our Lord, we make many, many decisions over the course of a day, and there's a fair amount of them that do not have a moral component to them. And in such situations, the Lord leaves it up to us in our Christian liberty to do what we think is best. In places where he has not said there is a certain right way or a wrong way to do it, we just simply can use our Christian common sense. Then there are other decisions in which there is a definite right or wrong choice according to God's word. You would think in those situations it'd just be a no-brainer. Well, this is what God says. This is what I need to do. However, those can be difficult decisions to make, because when we do the right thing according to what God says, oftentimes there is going to be negative things that happen to us. Negative feedback from our friends, family members, neighbors, co-workers, adversity that may come upon us because we are following God. Tonight we have the case study of Pontius Pilate, who had all the information before him, all the ability or all the information to make the correct decision, but he could not make that hard decision. He did not have the spiritual wherewithal to do it. May God's Holy Spirit open our hearts tonight to receive his message and teach us how we can make those hard decisions. We would never have heard of Pontius Pilate if he were not involved with Jesus, if he were not did not have his name recorded in the Bible. He never ascended high enough up in the ranks of the Roman Empire to be included in any history book that I know of. You know, he was never an emperor. He wasn't a famous general or anything like that. And he became involved with Jesus simply because the Jews were forced to go to him in order to get the execution of Jesus as they wanted. You see, when the Romans took over a nation, as they had Israel, they had a few rules to go by. For the most part, they let these nations that they annexed to their empire do whatever they wanted, but they had to pay their taxes to Rome. There couldn't be any kind of military uprisings or problems they had to clamp down on, and they were not permitted to do their own executions. That right was only for the Roman governors and the Roman leaders to decide, not the local authorities. So even though Jesus was convicted by the Sanhedrin, convicted by Caiaphas, the high priest, and given the sentence of death for blasphemy, they could not carry out that execution. It was not going to be legal, and they could have the Romans coming down hard on them. So they wanted to make this very legitimate. They wanted it to be done by the book, to have all their I's dotted and T's crossed. And so they brought Jesus to Pontius Pilate. Pilate was there in Jerusalem. He wasn't regularly there, but he was there every Passover because there was a surge in population, not just from the land of Palestine, but from all over the Mediterranean. There were Jews that would come specifically to be in Jerusalem for that high feast day to observe God's law. With that big surge in population, there was, of course, more mischief, more violence that would happen, and Pilate had to be on deck to hear all of those cases. It's not like today where you get arrested and maybe your trial is months away. And you got arrested, your trial is going to be that night or the very next day. So he just didn't happen to be there. Of course, the Lord had this all take place, that Pilate would be the man whom Jesus would face. In reviewing how Pilate proceeded with the trial of Jesus, it becomes evident rather quickly that he knew what was right and what was wrong, and still deliberately made the wrong decision. Let's go through just a few facts that Pilate knew and that we're aware that he knew. Number one, he knew that this was a religious case and did not belong in his courtroom. He said in John 18, "You take him and judge him according to your law." This was not his jurisdiction. It would be like if there was a doctrinal controversy in this congregation or in the synod, and we would go to a county judge and have him try to decide it. It simply was out of place. Number two, he knew that Jesus had not done anything wrong according to all the laws that were before him. Again, in John 18, he said, "I find no fault in him at all." Thirdly, he suspected that Jesus might be more than just a man. We read about that, I believe, in tonight's reading, when they said that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He began to panic a little bit. And then following that, when Jesus said he didn't have authority except from him, Pilate took those words to heart, and he suspected that there was more to Jesus than that humble appearance. We find this out, too, by that superscription that Pilate wrote, that placard above Jesus on the cross, in which he said, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And when the Jews wanted him to change that to say, "He said that he is the King of the Jews," Pilate stood firm. So he knew something was special was going on with Jesus. Fourthly, Pilate actively sought to release Jesus, and we'll go through some of that in a moment. And fifthly, from our text, we heard of how his wife was warned in a dream about Jesus, and she conveyed that message to Pilate, and he chose to ignore that. So there's no doubt that Pilate knew what had to be done, but he did not have the tools, he did not have the courage to make that hard decision, even though he knew he would be unpopular with the crowds. He tried to find an end around. He thought he could have it both ways. If he could get Jesus released but not take responsibility in doing so, well, then everybody would be happy. He wouldn't get blamed for it, and an innocent man would not have to die. And in this regard, then, he scourged Jesus. That was a very painful thing. Some men died even from that, as there was a leather straps with little bits of metal in them, and he would get lashed with that. And he thought, well, if they saw Jesus having had that done to him, and we read how he had the crown of thorns and so forth, another painful thing, that this would satisfy the bloodlust of the Jews, and they would say, well, this guy's been punished enough. Go ahead and let him go. But that didn't do it. He sent him over to Herod when he heard that he was a Galilean. He thought, well, Herod, good old Herod, he'll release him. And he'll take the political heat for it, not me. But of course, Herod did not comply. And then he thought, this would be a sure thing. I'm going to release a criminal. I'll give them a choice, Barabbas or Jesus. Barabbas, who was convicted of murder and causing riots and insurrection, a violent, violent individual, and they're going to have that choice between him and Jesus, who was, you know, nonviolent. He did nothing but good. All he did was speak. That was the worst thing they could accuse him of. Of course, they chose Barabbas because it was the hour of darkness and nothing was going to prevent Jesus from going to the cross. All these avenues failed. So, knowing all the information that he did and having all these end runs fail, why wouldn't Pilate just turn Jesus loose? I mean, he was in charge after all. He was the governor. He had the right to declare people innocent or guilty as he saw fit to do. But we read how the people said, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. And there you have it. That's what made him the most afraid, not that he might put an innocent man to death, not that Jesus might indeed be the Son of God, but that he might lose his job. Maybe he would get demoted, maybe he'd get sent to the backwaters, some backwater district or province of the Roman Empire, or maybe he thought Caesar would throw him in jail. I don't know that any of those things would have happened. I don't think Caesar would have cared one way or the other. But it was enough to frighten Pilate. He felt that he had to put his own political safety, his own position, above the innocence of Jesus. And so he washed his hands, proclaimed himself to be innocent in this grand ceremony. But of course, that doesn't remove his culpability in Jesus' death. What Pilate was missing was spiritual strength. He was missing even the very start of that in having a believing spirit. He was an expert in the law of Rome. He had heard, I'm sure, many, many cases before this. But being competent in his job was not enough. In this situation, he had to have the moral compass and the strength to make that hard decision and follow through and do the right thing, even if it meant that he would suffer some consequences. Each one of us finds ourselves a step ahead of Pilate in that the Holy Spirit has created a new man within us. And so we do have part of us that wants to make the right decision, that wants to do the will of God. So we're a step ahead in that way. And also, when we want to know what is right and wrong, we simply can look in the Bible and see what God says about it. Yet even with those features in ourselves, we find many times that we're like Pilate, that we make decisions that advance our own interests rather than helping our fellow man or following God's will. We let things go, pretend like we don't see something going on so we don't have to deal with it. We don't take a stand. We yield to pressure and keep silent instead of speaking because we fear the consequences. And while we may gape in amazement at Pilate of how he failed to do the right thing, we are crippled many times in our own situations. And in the end, because of those wrong decisions or failing to do the right thing, along with the rest of our transgressions, we are just as culpable in the death of Jesus as Pontius Pilate. But here we are in the season of Lent, a season of repentance. And it's a time that we acknowledge the wake of destruction and damage that we've caused to our fellow man. We've affected other people. We put Jesus on the cross, caused his suffering. Lent is a season of forgiveness, as Jesus willingly suffered under Pontius Pilate, endured the cross and the shame so that our slate would be clean, so that we would be presented to God as holy and righteous, even though we have made multiple mistakes and sinned against our God. Lent is a season of reflection as we pray that we do not repeat our sins of selfishness, but rather that we would make better decisions by putting God first, by making that hard decision and just letting the chips fall where they may, knowing that the Lord will not penalize you for following his word. Rather, his blessing is going to far outweigh any kind of consequence you may invite upon yourself for acting like his child. Test God out by making those hard decisions. Amen.